grace that is greater than all of our sins. Were it not that God's grace were greater than all of our sins, we would not have sufficient purpose for being here today. Amen. And for sitting in expectation of God's word coming through the chosen vessel of this hour, Elder Bill Liverman. Amen. So, because of God's grace effectually and effectively given unto us because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we present to you Elder Bill Liverman to bring us through informing us God's word to us, amen, of that marvelous, matchless grace and that which he has done for us. So let's receive Elder Bill Liverman and the word of God with a very hearty amen.
Grace and peace to the household of faith. Thank God for those that are here. Amen. Even those that are on their way. Thank God for his another day of his marvelous grace. Amen. Where we can just enjoy the essence of what God did for us in eternity. Amen. That's one word that I don't know why a lot of God's people just seem to run away from. Eternity. I got these bills now. Hey, my body's hurting now. This is my eternity. Well, in the essence, you know, your cogitation, way of thinking, right? If you have that clear view of eternity, thank God, the bills, the body aching, everything else will be put in its proper perspective to know that everything that is according to God. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, mercy, and kindness. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ and him crucified. Father, we thank you for Christ. We ask that every moment, every hour, every second that we are gathered together in ministry, that let Christ be magnified, let Christ be exalted, let everything point to Christ and no one else. So, Father, we thank you for the word of God today. We ask that the word of God bring comfort, edification, and peace to your people. For Christ is our peace. And, Lord, we thank you for the essence, Lord, of your goodness, kindness, and mercy. So right now, breathe upon the word of God today, Father. Put everything in the flesh. Put it aside, Lord. Let everything be spirit. Let everything magnify Christ and encourage your people today. And we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory that all the people of God say. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Thank God for this moment of truth. Amen. Thank God for the word of God. And what are we going to do today? Amen. We can go right into the scriptures. We can go right into the scriptures. And bear with me. We're going to, amen, start out. We're going to look at three scriptures today as our base of study in the word of God today. As our base of study, we're going to look at three scriptures. And they would be Galatians 2, we can read verse 1 through 7, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, and Philippians 1 and 10. So again, these are the three scriptures that will outline the theme, the things that we're going to cover today, which is differentiating these messages. Amen. Repeat after me, church, and I know y'all be said it a thousand times, and you can't say it too many times. If you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenant, dispensation and covenant arrangements, you will be confused. Very confused. You know, part of my, you know, we all know the doctrine of parapartiology, the walk. And the Lord, the reason the Lord gave me a wall of confusion for a number of years, because I can say with passion that these messages have to be divided. Because for years, as I mentioned before, I was saving eternity, pastor, but confused. Now, let's go right into the scripture. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 Dig and read verse 1 through 5 in the King James, and verse 1 through 6, King James, and read verse 7 in the Greek. Again, Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7.
Reading from the King James Version, Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain.
Mm-hmm.
But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
Mm-hmm.
But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me.
Now
verse 7 from the interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
But on the contrary,
mm-hmm.
seeing,
yes,
that I have been entrusted with the gospel of the uncircumcision,
mm-hmm.
as Peter, that of the circumcision.
Church, do you see? Let me say this. There are a lot of confusion at the church of Galatia. A lot of confusion. And the Apostle Paul came to war. he called them false brethren. Now notice, he didn't say they weren't saved. He didn't come to war with, quote, the newborn in terms of manifestation of salvation, those that were new in Christ. He came into war with the leaders, Peter, James, and John, and the other leaders who were taking the liberty that were in Christ. If God showed Paul the revelation of the mystery, and they were putting a yoke on the other, a yoke of bondage. In fact, in one account, Peter says, God gave him this enlightenment, says, why are we telling them, the brethren, to, you a savior, but, see, whenever, watch the word but, because that word but connotates synergism, for you have to keep the law of Moses. Same thing today. You are saved, but you have to be baptized. You are saved, yeah, but you have to do this to heard some of them say, to assure your eternal salvation, you have to do something. Anything that you have to do, church, destroys grace. Amen. So in essence, there were confusion here because they were, the whole book of Galatians, the main problem, they were mixing the messages. And it caused a lot of confusion. Now, next here, now, because Paul, understand, but Paul was the leader of the, God showed Paul the mystery. Amen. And Timothy was one of his students that Paul taught via the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Notice what Paul tells Timothy. What about these messages? Go on to, let's keep moving. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15. King James, it's only be a go to King James and Greek. Amen. Taking our time, 2 Timothy 2:15.
Now we're reading from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15, first from the King James Version. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now from the interlinear Greek text, 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15. Be eager thyself approved to having presented to God a workman unashamed.
A workman unashamed. Church.
Cutting straight the
That's
word
right.
of truth.
Cutting, oh, please, don't leave that off. Don't leave that off. Because, see, the King James, they back off. When they say back off, they say divide. Well, see, they didn't go far enough. That's why we do Greek exegesis church and see what is the original thought conveyance. I mean, you say the divide. I mean, amen. But that's not what the Word of God is saying here. This word has to be what? Cut it straight. You have to cut straight. Cut what? Cut these messages. You pair of scissors. You know, you take a pair of scissors. You cut a pair of scissors, and depending upon what you're doing, you divide that paper. But you're going to cut it so that there will be no more connections. You cut one part is over here, other part is over here. These messages have to be what? Cut straight. Now, let's go further. Paul, in essence, tells Timothy to the point where cut it straight. In essence, he tells Timothy, everything that you've taught before, your mother, your grandmother, Lois and Eunice, the things that they taught you, the law, the kingdom, I mean, that's good in its place. But he tells Timothy, don't go there for doctrine. Don't go there for doctrine. In fact, one account, Paul says, everything the things that you hear me preach and say, preach, teach these things. And he took it one step further. And don't teach anything else. Now, he didn't tell Timothy, okay, you committed the bottom of sin if you go to Psalms or Proverbs, you sin. No. You can go there for corroboration. But don't go to the other portion of the Bible, church, for doctrine. Now, we all know the Grace Gospel Ministry. Thank God for the grace that God has given to, amen, to Deacon Henderson and Deacon Mitchell. This ministry goes throughout the globe via the tape and the web. Amen. Like somebody said, you know, we have a handful of people here today. See, thank God we're not moved by what we see. Because right now I'm convinced, I don't know the Holy Spirit can bear witness in terms of manifestation in the future, but amen. There's no doubt this ministry each day, each week we're here is touching millions of people.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we are not moved by what we see. So God's placement, God's purpose is for us not to magnify how many what people are in here each Sunday, but His purpose is to magnify the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Now, he tells Timothy, don't teach and preach anything else but doctrine. Why is it? Here's the next church, here's the key. Why is it that we should not go to the other portion of the Bible for doctrine, for direction in your life? Well, that's the next scripture. Go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Some of you know where I'm going. Amen. See, notice. Okay, you divide the word. Peter, gospel of the kingdom. Paul, the apostle Paul, the gospel of the grace of God. Okay, so what? So what? These messages have to be divided. He tells Timothy again, don't teach or preach anything else for doctrine. Deacon Gavin, verses 1 to 10. Go right to verse 10, please. Do the King. This is the King James in Greek. See, the King James, because again, biblical exegesis church is so important, they mess up another word here. Let's go there, Deacon, please.
Now we're reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 10, first, the King James Version. That ye may approve things that are excellent,
mm-hmm.
that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, from the interlinear Greek text, Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. For thee to prove you the things differing, in order that ye may be sincere and without and unoffending in day of Christ.
Notice, church, the King James uses the word the things that are excellent. That's okay to a degree, but it doesn't go far enough. See, the Greek just tells it like it is. It doesn't vary to the right, left. It just tells it whether you're in the past, the aorist tense, present tense, whatever. The Greek tells you if it's properly what exegeted, right? Now, once it's properly exegeted, but now you try to explicate without what exegeting, you'd be coming out of the gate. You'd be saying, you'd be making up stuff. Hello, church. So for years, I've seen preachers, they try to explain a verse without proper exegesis. Hello. They go over there and in the account where, one account, John says, and John says, if any man is born of God, he cannot sin. Like, yeah, that's right. If any man is born of God. And then somebody take that without exegesis, they'll say, well, somebody's a preacher, what does it mean if any man is born, they cannot sin? Without the proper exegesis there, you can be saying, well, if you get full of this Holy Ghost, if you get enough of the Spirit, you'll get to the point where you won't sin. No. John was talking about, you have to understand the demarcations between the old man. The old man is flesh, is what? Sinful. The new man is recreated in Christ Jesus. The new man cannot sin. So every time God causes you to do right, don't you can't take credit for that. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He causes you to what? To identify with what? The new man. But now when you get the big head, it'll be all depraved. You're going to get the big head. Look at what I've done. All of a sudden, God's going to slap you with depravity and to show you what? How insignificant you are without his marvelous grace. But it's the old man. When we miss the mark, the new man ain't missing the mark. It's the old man. Amen. So these messages, did you read that in the Greek?
Yes.
Now, it says different. The messages are different, church. See, the King James, that word was too strong. So that's different. Amen. The whole Bible is the same. So to say that Paul's writings are different, yes, they are different.
Yes.
And that is a problem, at least from my experience. The mail we receive from brethren over in other countries, the Philippines, Asia, Africa, and they ask questions. Almost in every case, that their question could be answered if they divide the Bible properly. If they understand that the Bible has to be studied according to dispensations and covenantal arrangements. And guess what, church? Here's a marvelous thing about God's Word. If you do that, it'll bring liberty in the Scriptures. Amen. When you read a word, you should ask yourself one question. Where is this coming from? If it's coming from Leviticus, all you can get there is the law. You will be read over there in Daniel. All you can get there is a law. Well, by the way, Daniel, you need book. You can get a law with prophecy of the kingdom. Hello. In fact, and amen. Daniel it can be considered the revelation of the Old Testament because all God showed to Daniel the end times. He showed John the end times. But here's the essence of God's marvelous workings. God showed Daniel and Isaiah. You go right there. They talk about the birth of Christ and all, you know, his coming kingdom and all of this. And the wonderful things of Christ. And then they skip, go right there to the kingdom. And this age that we live in now, this grace age was hidden from all of the Old Testament prophets. They didn't see this day. We'll get to that later. But again, we're going, these messages have to be divided because they're different. Now, here's the next question. What is so different about these messages? You say they're different. Well, what is so different? I'm glad you asked. Amen. We can't cover everything today, but first of all, they are different towards baptism. See, if you miss these messages, you're going to say, well, you have to be saved. You have to be baptized. First of all, baptism, church, is nothing but identification. When the Jews were, what, baptized in water, it showed that they identified with the kingdom gospel. And there are many, you know, Matthew 28 and the account, one account that a church I used to attend had this famous saying, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Jesus Christ, and for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the spiritual baptism, physical, which focus on the identification with the kingdom gospel. Now, the grace gospel, again, we're looking at the differences. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13. Deacon Gavin, please read this in the Greek. What about the baptism that causes so many problems today?
Now, we're reading from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12,
Verse 13 from the interlineal Greek text. For indeed, by one Spirit, we all into one body having been baptized.
Now,
whether Jews
yes.
or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all one Spirit were given to drink.
Okay, now Deacon Gavin just read in the Greek, we were all baptized. We were baptized. Identification, church. Identification. Now, identification. Here's a question. When were we identified with Christ? Now, what happened is this, and please, don't leave here saying we're beating up on the King James, church. Because we, you know, whatever translation is not the issue. The issue is that what are they saying? Amen. In some cases, by the way, I say King James is my favorite translation. They say a lot of good things there, but many times they missed it. Just like many all the other translations, right? Even in the Greek, they missed it. The Greek scholars missed some things. So because no one knows where the original manuscripts initiated. See, what they did, they took the Word of God. Now, see, they didn't have FedEx or Kinko's those days, or Office Depot. So they just copy, right? But no one on the Holy Spirit knows where the original manuscripts were written. But that lets you know God is not dependent upon man for anything. In spite of man trying to manipulate the Word, trying to dilute the Word, to dilute the eternal workings of God, the Word of God is still alive because it was breathed upon by the Holy Spirit. So one account, they tried to destroy Paul's writings. Get rid of those writers. It's too controversial. But God, what? It wasn't according to God. Now, that word, were baptized? Now, in the King James, they are baptized. They want to put it in time. When Deacon Gavin just read, were baptized, church, if you have a good Greek concordance, that word, were baptized, it's an aorist, past completed action, in the indicative. What's the indicative? It's a fact. In the passive voice. The baptism, what you didn't initiate no baptism, is the aorist past completed fact. How stronger can you get than a past completed fact? And the passive voice meaning that no one did the baptism to you. God did it in eternity. You were just a passive recipient of what God did in eternity. Yeah, I repeat, you were a passive recipient. You didn't have anything to do with it, because this is right in line, it's synonymous with Ephesians 1:4, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. This we were baptized, because God chose you in Christ, he baptized you in Christ. He chose you in eternity, he baptized you in eternity. Amen. Chosen and identification, all the same workings of God in eternity, not in time. Amen. Now, in the essence of Christ in eternity, what he did, see, God used all of us differently. Just like the Lord, my wife mentioned several times that she can't get away from Ephesians and Colossians. The Lord has an anchor there. But see, I'm sorry, church. I'm anchored in divine these messages. If you don't divine these messages, you'll go through life confused. Saved but confused. So I say it, Lord, you will be confused if you don't divide these messages. What else? Notice Deacon Gavin just read earlier, the messages are different. What else is different about these messages? In the kingdom gospel, the focus is on time. You are doing all the workings of God is on time. In the grace gospel, the focus is on eternity. You were baptized in eternity, saved in eternity. Amen. Sanctified in eternity. Made righteous in eternity. All the workings of God is in eternity. But here's the danger. If you put this in time, you say, well, let me just get enough of the Holy Ghost, and let me just pray enough, fast enough, and then I'll be righteous. If you're going to wait on your own self-efforts to be righteous, church, forget it. We are not righteous because of anything we've done. We are clothed with the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His righteousness, his kindness, his goodness, and his mercy. Amen. In the kingdom gospel, the eternal workings of God were known. Yeah. Genesis, God show. Genesis 3:15 talks about the coming Messiah in terms of he's going to be, that gives the first evidence of blood sacrifice. Now, all through the prophets, the Old Testament, it talked about a coming deliverer. They saw it. Moses and Deuteronomy, all the Daniel, Isaiah, God showed them a coming deliverer. Right? It was known. In the kingdom gospel. Notice how many times did the disciples say, Lord, when are you going to set up your kingdom? They knew it was coming. So the kingdom gospel, known. The revelation of that kingdom was known to the sons of men. In the grace gospel, the eternal workings of God were unknown. So you say, these messages are different. Deacon Gavin, go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, please. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Just go and just do the Greek, please.
Now we're reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, interlinear Greek text. Of this, by reason of, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you, the nations.
Uh-huh.
Indeed, ye heard the stewardship of the grace of God given to me for you, that by way of revelation was made known to me the mystery, as I previously wrote in brief, as to which ye can, reading, to realize the understanding of me in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations not was made known to the sons of men, as now it was revealed to the holy apostles of him and prophets in spirit.
Notice, church, notice now, this mystery, this message came from God to the apostle Paul. And by the way, we're not magnifying Paul. Paul was just, what? In fact, one count, Paul said, I'm the least of all the apostles. So we're not magnifying Paul. We are magnifying the message. Amen. It's the message that's magnifying. Now, having said this, Paul states here, the Holy Spirit, through the Paul, states that the message of the gospel, the grace of God, was unknown. No one, see, the message of the kingdom, notice now, the message of the kingdom was known through men and prophets, and even in the kingdom gospel, God revealed, Jesus revealed Peter, James, and John, the 12, and others. He revealed to them, it came via the medium of different vessels. The gospel of the grace of God via the mystery came via the medium of one vessel, the Apostle Paul. Kingdom gospel, many vessels. Grace gospel, one vessel, and then God dispensed that to others. Timothy, Titus. But it started with one man. That message was hidden. So in essence, church, the gospel of the grace of God, what? Was unknown in the old writings. So if you try to put the church age back there, you'd be confused. But somebody say, well, they'll say, Ellen, the Bible talks about God saving the Gentiles. We're Gentiles, right? Yeah. Well, I read over there in the old writings where it says the Gentiles are going to be saved. Wait. Understand, church, there are Gentiles that will be saved in the Old Testament. But those are Gentiles, that will receive their salvation after Israel, by the way, after God causes Israel to receive Christ. And then, so in essence, the Gentiles, even today, those, Gentiles are waiting for Israel's blessings. But the body of Christ is not dependent upon what? Israel for her blessings, because Israel's blessings are more or less physical. Our blessings are what? Spiritual. In fact, we talked for almost 2 years, a few years ago, on Romans chapter 11. Where it talks about what the church of the body of Christ, in terms of our blessings, apart from what? Israel. Again, go back to time right now. Kingdom gospel, low kingdom, Israel's message. Grace, by the Christ, that's the grace message. And what comprises the grace message? Those 14 epistles written by the Apostle Paul. Amen. Now, we have a document that we're going to pass out in about 5 minutes, but let me just go over one other difference that's not in the document, and we'll refer that. Amen. Y'all relax. I'm going to get up early today because I know I started 10 minutes earlier, so just relax. I'll be out before you morning. Amen. Now, in the kingdom gospel, everything is according to man. Why? Man, you do this. Man, you do this. God, do that. That's the language of those covenants. Everything is according to man. In the grace gospel, everything is according to God. See, the language of those covenant church, they're different. I repeat, in the kingdom gospel, everything is according to man, based upon that language. In the grace gospel, everything is according to God. But let me share some good news for you. You know what? You go there and read Leviticus, all those other writings, God dealt with David and all of this. You know, everything always has been according to God. But you don't get that language, you don't get that comprehension until you, study our gospel. Everything that happened, David's sin, all the things, everything happened was according to God. But in the language of those covenants, you would think a man had something to do with it, in that language. But everything is according to God. Now, if Dick and Gavin read Ephesians 3:11, please.
Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. King James and Greek Interlinear. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now from the Interlinear Greek text. According to purpose of the ages. Which he made in Christ Jesus, the Lord of us.
According to purpose of the ages. In the church in that time, but if you go back, if you read, in fact, technically everything from Ephesians 1 all the way up to according to eternal purpose, it's all one narrative. Ephesians 1 talks about the chosen in Christ and what God did for us and this mystical body of Christ, and here Jews and Gentiles were in the old writings, there was a line of what petition, but now God has torn down the wall, and everything leads up to this verse here. Everything is according to purpose. So with the language we have today, everything in our life, church, is according to purpose. Now, if you don't understand that, if you don't put the workings of God in eternity, if you focus on time, there are many things that happen that you won't have any knowledge of. Because you feel that if man is in the formula, then some way we can effectuate the workings of God. No, 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 no. God is God all by himself. Amen. Because he's God. Let me give you an example. I conducted a wedding yesterday. I had a wedding ceremony, a beautiful ceremony. And I tell you, the past few weeks has been interesting because I conducted two funerals and one wedding yesterday, just in the past few weeks. And it's amazing how you take, in process-wise, this is wonderful in terms of information, but if you don't put this as an eternal view, you will many times be confused. Let me give you an example. During the beautiful couple that were wed yesterday, and in terms of the process-wise, what was read to them in terms of the rings. And I just wrote, just bear with me, there's a little paragraph here that were part of that service. And it talked about here, as a token of this covenant, you would now give and receive the marriage rings. Talk about that. The unbroken circle, the emblem of eternity, and the gold, the emblem of that which is least tarnished and most enduring, as to show how lasting is the pledge you have made to the other. Now, in process-wise, wonderful when, many of you have, we all married some, amen, wonderful, wonderful. Some are not married, some have been married 20 years, some, my wife and I will be celebrating our 40th in another few weeks. But yes, church, see, from process-wise, yes, I read this to the couple yesterday during the ceremony, but understand, whatever happens in that union is according to God. Whatever happens. Now you pray, Lord, hey, listen, process-wise, pray that they'll be together, hey, forever. Amen. By the way, when you say forever, you know, that's just man, you know. There's no forever in time. Forever is only in eternity. But yeah, you understand what I'm saying. So, I mean, we know Sister Ruth here, and her and Brother Charles been on, be the Lord, celebrate that 50th a few years ago. But here's the point. You know, just thinking, coming home from Stone Creek from the wedding ceremony, I said, want to thank you, Jesus. But in my heart, I know the outcome in terms of the whole process is what? According to God. So understand that men of God's people, most, and I hate to say it, a lot of brothers beat up on the women, you know, in terms of a marriage situation. They, some of them married a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, and all of a sudden, God what? Then the purpose of that union has been what? Completed. What's going to happen? God's going to bring it to an end. Now, we're not, hey, work it out. Amen. Hey, work it out, whatever happens. But the whole idea is that how many of God's people have been condemned because their marriage didn't last? We know, I mean, some, in fact, a friend of mine mentioned the other day, a church, this brother loved the Lord, and he was asked to send his resume to the, I couldn't get that, but he was saying, send your resume. He wanted to, you know, he had a zeal for God. He wanted to work in the ministry. And somehow, in terms of his background, when it's mentioned that he had a divorce, the resume went into the trash can. See, people do not understand whatever about purpose. God controls everything, and when God's purpose for anything has been fulfilled, God brings it to an end. That's the workings of God. So, in essence, everything is according to God. Is according to his will, plan, and purpose. Now go to the document. Everyone should have a document. Najee, you know, those that do not have the yes, everyone should have a document because we're still talking about dividing these messages. Now, raise your hand if you do not have a document. Yes, Brother Tim, Brother Najee. The reason that we want to pass these out now because it's human nature. I want everyone to, when we get here, to focus on these, I want everyone to be directed to the document. Amen. Now, what we want to do is, now we started this 3 weeks ago. I want you to go to the first page, go to the next to the last little paragraph there. Again, where it says God's purpose, go to the next to the last paragraph, and let's read this. Amen. Again, notice on the left, church, on the left you see Commonwealth of Israel, which is the kingdom. But let's look at the title here. The contrast between the Commonwealth of Israel, the kingdom gospel, and the grace church, the body of Christ. Okay? Now, the next to last paragraph, it reads, God's purpose and plan for Israel was revealed in the Old Testament scriptures in the Synoptic Gospels. See, that's Israel. Look to the right here. God's purpose and plan for the grace church was not revealed in the Old Testament, but was revealed to the Apostle Paul, Ephesians 3:5. Deacon Gavin just read that. In the old, not revealed in the new. What are we going to say? New. We're talking about, but now, revealed, not revealed in the old. Amen. Next one. Israel's history, which is in view in Daniel 9:24, the 70 weeks of, or 490 years, involved animal sacrifices. These years will include the tribulation, and Israel's millennium duration will involve the same. Okay. Now, over to the right. What about the grace gospel? Neither the kingdom nor grace church does involve in animal sacrifices. Christ's sacrifice is commemorated by means of the Lord's table, church. See that? We have what? You know, we have communion here. Amen. As a token of what God did for us. But there are no sacrifices. I mean, you don't have to travel over to Israel and try to cut, you know, kill animals. By the way, they're not even doing that there. Amen. The whole idea was that this is a different covenant, church. Amen? Go to the next page. Dividing these messages. Israel's history, which is in view in Daniel 9:24, the 490 years, including also the tribulation, involved a temple in Jerusalem. The same would be true in the millennium, Ezekiel 40:48. Okay? Now notice, what about the grace gospel? Look to the right. During most of the church age, there is no Jewish temple in Jerusalem. In this grace age, God manifests his glory in his designated ones, both individually and collectively, designating them as his manifested temple, referenced in 1 Corinthians 3:16, 6:19-20, Ephesians 2:21-22, accompanied by the indwelling ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. Notice, in the old writings, they had to go to a physical place, and you better go to that temple properly. Confess, you don't think you're going there. I mean, you better. They had to have a God. They had an order for you to enter that temple. And if you went, if you got did the wrong thing, you were smitten dead. So I don't have time to go there right now. But I'm just saying there's an order. But notice, but God manifests His presence in a physical place. Here, God is manifesting His marvelous presence in you as a member in the body of Christ. God is manifesting His presence to you every second, every minute, every day. But somebody say, I don't feel like it. How do you know? Why? Because you're in Christ. And God manifesting His presence does not depend upon you feeling, seeing fire from heaven or say, come on, Holy Spirit, bring on the rain. Amen. No, no. The fact that you are in Christ, He is manifesting His glory. In regards to how you feel. That past, we had a doctrine conference, I think about two conferences ago where we had the glory, the people, they were moving, you know, they were praying for rain. In other words, when they saw the herd, y'all remember that, they were waiting for Lord, bring the rain. And when the rain came, oh, this is the glory of God. See, the point is this, our glory is spiritual. We have a glory that is far greater than Israel's glory, because we are glory, we are saved in eternity. We are members in the body of Christ, and our time passed but now. Our glory, the glory of God is so wonderful in the fact that we are in Christ. So wonderful. See? So people out here together, right? Thank God for what He's done for Israel. Thank God. Israel has a wonderful what? Blessing coming. But He has more for us. He's done more for us, church. We just have more. God, process-wise, manifestation-wise, of people that had no covenant relationship with Him in time past. And He's taken a people. Now, by the way, you understand, we've always belonged to Christ. Okay? Understand it now. In God's actualized decree, we have always belonged to Christ. But manifestation-wise, He had no relationship with Gentiles apart from that covenant. See? But He's taken Gentiles who at one point, manifestation-wise, had no relationship with God. And He's exalted us far above what He has for the commonwealth of Israel. Only God can do this. Why would God do that? Why? See, whenever people say why, they don't understand sovereignty. What's sovereignty? God does what He wants, when He wants, and how He wants. He saves who He wants to save. And so many people wonder, say, Lord, but why do you save me? Why do you save my next door neighbor? They ask the question, why didn't God save your next door neighbor? Right. Well, why do you know the next door neighbor's not saved? Because I'm going to church Sunday and they do all this and that. I know they ain't saved. See, now you're trying to put God in a box to determine what? God, the only difference between you and your next door neighbor who you say, well, they ain't saved, in your mind they're not living right. Amen. Because you're saying, what happens is that you are saying that the person you're looking at lifestyle, and by the way, thank God, God's called you to identify with Christ, wonderful. But you can't put no one in hell because they don't live up to your what you consider salvation. God saves those whom He wants to save. Because He's what? God. All by Himself. Amen. So stop worrying about others. Just thank God that He chose you. Thank God He chose you. Apart from anything you did. But apart from what He did. Sometimes y'all talk about Christ too much. Wait a minute. Talk about Christ too much? I tell you what. If y'all want me to stop talking about Christ, I take my Bible right now, get in my car, and I go home, and I buy me a hamburger or something on the way home. Amen. Because I do that. If y'all, hey, if you want me to stop talking about Christ, let's go home right now. Every time we're here, we're going to talk about Jesus. Next page. Go to the next one, church. The second one. Israel's history, which is in view in Daniel 9:24, the 490 years, involve a priesthood limited to the sons of Aaron and excluding most Israelites. See that? The same applies to the millennium when Zadokian priests, also known as sons of Aaron, will serve in the temple. Referencing Ezekiel 4:4-6, 43:19, 4:4-15. What about the church age today, church? Go to the right. During the present church age, designated ones are enabled to offer spiritual sacrifice to the Lord. Hebrews 13:15. Whereas Israel had a priesthood, the church is inherently has and does dwell in the entity of Christ's body in eternity. See? One covenant physical. Our covenant spiritual. Amen. Now let's look at some other things here. Now let's go to this. I'm going to refer to some other things I had written here. Amen. In terms of this, what about the covenant, the gospel? In the kingdom gospel, we know this. You have signs, wonders, and miracles. That's the language of this covenant, church. You know, go there. In fact, you go over there in Matthew, Mark, Luke. What do you see? Signs and wonders. And then, go to Acts. What do you still see? Signs and wonders. You see, those are signs and wonders. They land on their hands and go in the temple, people are healed. That's part of that covenant. And if you follow the workings of God, when God revealed the mystery to the Apostle Paul, yeah, in one account, there was somebody sick, and Paul took his handkerchief and prayed, and the people were healed. During that transition period, yes, that was God, part of God's process in transitioning from kingdom to grace. But now, in the grace church, you see, this is a signless covenant. The grace covenant, the signless church, and people that don't know covenantal arrangements, that's why you hear them say, oh, the church needs to get back to the book of Acts. You know you heard it. So what they're saying, what's happened to America today? Why aren't people getting healed today? Well, first of all, let's correct that. There are some people still getting healed, but it's according to God. Somebody asked me, does God heal today? Yeah, but according to God. Does some get healed today? Yes, according to God. Some not getting healed? Yes, according to God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. So everything is according to God. I remember my mom, who will be in a few weeks, will be celebrating her 91st birthday. And I remember she was, I'm going back 50 years ago. My mother had asthma so bad, especially in the summertime, you know, in North Carolina, where you didn't have an air conditioner. I mean, she suffered for years with asthma. And so we didn't know anything about scripture. We went to Galilee Baptist Church one day. Like, Galilee Baptist, and the preachers, the deacons, had my mother, you know, she was suffering from the asthma, and the deacons, they pray in that knowledge, Lord, you know, heal Mrs. Liverman. I mean, she was so bad. I mean, we only had one doctor in the whole community. Lord, heal Mrs. Liverman. Heal her, because she had asthma so bad. But see, she had the Lord, the way things work, the doctor in one account told her, with the next attack, my mother would probably die. It was so bad. And it was like the next month, my mother got up, it was like there was no asthma. It just what? You know, it just disappeared. But here's the point, church. Here's the point. Even though my mother has Alzheimer's now for over 10 years, amen, but she was healed not because of them praying. She was healed because it was the eternal decree of God. She was healed right then because of what? God's purpose. But again, signs and healing today on a universal basis, it is not the language of the grace covenant. Now, hey, you're smitten with something? Pray. I'll be the first one. Pray for El Lemon. Pray. Amen. But you better end that prayer, Lord, thy will be done. Amen. So God's prayer, somebody say, God healed everybody today. And see, the people, I'm going to say this in love. If you believe God heals everybody today, why don't you send the preachers, go to Sinai Hospital, go to St. John's. And by the way, those of you that's via the website, these are just names of local hospitals. And sometimes we need to remember that this message goes, what, worldwide. So when we say certain things, we have to make sure sometimes we explain it. So for those that's by way of the web, we just are mentioning these are institutions that locally in our state, Michigan, where people go, amen, to be helped. And thank God for doctors, amen. Thank God for doctors. So, amen. You know, I don't know about people. See, you miss these messages. You say, I'm healed. And people, some of the doctors, people don't go to a doctor. And, now, wait a minute. Process-wise, God gave this man or woman knowledge about the body that you don't have. Amen. And if God gave them that knowledge, I'm going to the doctor, whatever you have. Help me out, doctor. Amen. That doesn't mean you don't trust God, but God has put them there. Amen. So my wife tell you, I mean, hey, I'm going to zoom to the problems off in a minute. Not that I don't trust God, but God has what? Put him there. Or her there for what? For a purpose. For a purpose. Amen. In the kingdom gospel, Jesus Christ is preached according to prophecy. Amen, church. The kingdom gospel. He was prophesied. The prophecy of the Messiah was preached. It was known. In the grace gospel, Jesus Christ is preached according to mystery. In the grace gospel, the focus is on time again. In the kingdom gospel, the focus is on eternity. So everything in the kingdom gospel goes back to what God was going to do in terms of time. He's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to do certain things in the future. But our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, is what God has already done. He has already saved you. He's already sanctified you. He's already adopted you. He's made you a sonship. He's made you righteous. He's anointed you. He has done everything, by the way, to the point. God cannot do anything else for you. Wait a minute. Somebody, what do you mean God cannot do anything? You know, I need some information here. Wait a minute. The information is already there. It's just not revealed. See, as your conscience moves through those frames, something pop up. And you say, whoa, look at God answered that prayer. Wait a minute. That prayer was already there, church. Your conscience just what? Was enlightened to what God has already done. Look at salvation. Oh, the Holy Spirit hit me. I realized Jesus saved me. Wait a minute. You say the Holy Ghost hit you. Wait a minute. God just breathed upon your spirit that you have always belonged to him. You just, the purpose of the Holy Spirit today is not to bring salvation. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring enlightenment of what God has already done. I repeat. Get it on the hand. Amen. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is not to initiate salvation. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring revelation. And everything, that's everything. The purpose is to bring what? Everything. Everything is according to God. So, in essence, be patient with our brothers and sisters. Because, number one, the person that you see, they don't get it. They don't have it. They don't have it. They don't have it. They, you know, and all of a sudden, that person could be preaching. Well, God could be what? Giving that person enlightenment. So the essence of salvation is what God has already done. And the essence of our gospel is the fact that we belong to him. Amen. All right. We're going to read one more, then we'll close. All right. Let's go back to the document. 1, 2, 3. Y'all want to read it? Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Go to the fifth one, the fifth narrative. The fifth narrative, church, because I want to. Amen. Focus on this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Fifth narrative. During Israel's history from Sinai to the Millennial Kingdom, excluding the church age, Israel's role in the world would be characterized by priority. That is, they would have a leading role as God's chosen people. See that? Priority. Israel. Notice. Next. What about the church? During the church age, Israel's role in the world would be characterized by its estrangement, whereas the great church manifests both Jews and Gentiles united together, presently in one body, to bear testimony to a risen Christ. Colossians 3:11, Galatians 3:28. You see that, church? In fact, even today's role, amen, Israel's blessings in the kingdom gospel, Israel's blessings has been put on hold. Our blessings, spiritually, time passed, but now, God is revealing himself to us as members in his body, in the body of Christ. And what happened? The next glorious event, the rapture of the church. And Deacon Gavin did a great job this morning in Sunday school bringing this out in terms of the catching away of the church. Amen. Over there in the book of Thessalonians. When this church age is what? Coming to a close. Now, think about this. I got so excited. Why will God bring this church age to a close? Well, you know what? First of all, it's God's plan, right? But look, we'll go back to Ephesians 3:11. When God's purpose for the body of Christ has been fulfilled in this present evil age, he's going to bring it to a close via the medium of the rapture. His purpose for this age has been fulfilled. So when God's purpose for anything has been fulfilled, what happens? God removes it. So that he's going to catch us away to say, spirit to spirit, spiritual wise, my purpose for the body of Christ has been fulfilled. And we'll be where we always have been, and that is in Christ. So that's our glorious hope. That is our glorious hope, to know that in spite of my problems, in spite of disappointments, in spite of everything is, has already been, in spite of everything, church, we have a blessed hope. In fact, the rapture has already occurred. Now somebody say, "What? You wait a minute." Somebody say, Pastor, Gavin, Nicholson, Elder Karen, pray for us. Let me say, the rapture has already occurred. Wait. Come on. The rapture has already occurred. The rapture just hasn't been manifested. The event, for the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive, that has already occurred. They were saying, God's already said it, it's already occurred. The fact that it just hasn't been manifested, it's already occurred by the decree. So even we focus on what God has already done, you can have peace and joy that passes all understanding, because you will be looking at things from the eternal view, and that is the everlasting view, and that is why the only gospel that should ever be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.